Hello and welcome to the Conscious Parenting Paradigm Podcast. I'm your host, France Taillard, the HD Parenting Coach and Certified Conscious Parenting Coach. Today, you're listening to a special Conscious Parenting series, The Conscious Back to School. My desire with this series is to create more ease in your life, not only at the start of the school year, but for the entire year to come. You may find golden nuggets in here, some you already know and may have forgotten. Some are going to be brand new golden nuggets for you. I've interviewed various guests and together we shared our wisdom and had conversations to guide you and your child for the best school year to come. From sleep, nutrition, building resiliency, connecting with your child's teacher, and so much more. I've also created a special limited time offer for you, a mini human design reading, differentiated learning. This is a one-on-one offer, and it's all about guiding you to create ease with homework for your child through human design. Learning how your child is designed to digest information, their best environment for learning, to focus, structure, and so much more. Join me in exploring how we can ease this transition of back to school for ourselves and our children. Hello and welcome to today's episode. Today we have a special guest with us, Dimple Arora from Mindful Evolution. And this is part of our Back to School in a Conscious Way series. And it's more than just back to school. We're going to talk about the whole school year, how you can approach it in the best conscious way possible. So welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, friends. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. All right, so let's get started. Let's just dive right into preparing to transition back to school. What can parents do to prepare for that?
Oh, wow. There's so much that parents can do. And I know right now, you know, in being in the month of August, there's some heightened anxiety about getting back to school right now because of everything going on in the world, right? So it's important for parents to feel supported as well in this transition so that they can support their child and anyone else that's involved in the care of the child during the school year as well. It's important for them to feel supported. So I would say the first thing for parents is to really manage and reduce their own anxiety about transitioning back to school this year. I know that there is a lot going on. There are different protocols in place for the pandemic, and there's a lot of heightened anxiety, and parents are worried about, how their child is going to respond being back in an environment where many of the kids were doing virtual learning for a year and a half. So being back in an environment where they're around people and there's a focus on academics, you know, so all that stuff. So for parents, in order to reduce their anxiety, I would say get mentally prepared yourself first and use coping strategies to reduce your own stress and change your perspective around the idea of the transition being hard or fearful, right? So some of us are operating on a fear-based mode right now. So we want to develop some skills that are going to help us cope with being able to get back to school and being more prepared. So it's not only this year about getting the new running shoes and preparing the lunches. I mean, there's so much more to it, and we're dealing with a lot of big emotions. So the best thing is for us to really be able to manage our own emotions first. And so for that, it may involve having a support group of parents to talk to about your fears, or getting more restful sleep so that you're better able to cope with what's ahead, or just keeping your own perspective strong so that you can move forward with a sense of optimism rather than a sense of fear.
I love that. And those are three important things, like addressing the sleep, because when we're tired, it's hard to even be able to shift our perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And, not thinking of the worst, but, you know, trying to leave room and possibility for actually it being a good thing, mm-hmm. and working out easily. I love that. So let's take a step back. Over the last year, there's been skyrocketed numbers of emotional challenges for children, mental health challenges for children. What can you say about that?
Yeah, the mental health of children has definitely been on the decline, especially for the teens. And what we want to do is hopefully, as parents, we've modeled a sense of building resilience in our children. And that's to it was an a wonderful opportunity in the past year to teach them how to bounce back and roll with the punches when it comes to life's challenges. So giving them a variety of skills that allow them to cope with their emotions. So naming their emotions and naming their feelings, and especially about going back to school, helping them to get mentally prepared is going to be really beneficial right now. So helping them to realize that they have control over what's happening. They can make empowered choices despite what's going on in the world. So once we empower children and we model to them resilience and the fact that they are competent, and we can make them, gain that confidence so that they can move forward and transition back to school with more confidence. And the way we do that is to model it to our children. The words that we use are really important. The coping mechanisms that we teach them and that we model ourselves are really important. Helping them to realize that they have choices and that their thoughts will affect how they feel about certain things, and then how they feel will affect what their actions are and what their behavior is. And that's going to eventually lead to the outcome and the results that they're getting. So helping them to manage their thoughts is really important right now. And I want to talk about the kids. A lot of them have been on screens for a year, right? A year and a half. They've been learning virtually. They've been playing video games. They've been really operating through an environment of screen time. So we want to bring them back to their executive functioning. So their executive functioning of their brain, where they can focus and they can have empathy and manage their impulses. And one of the ways to do that is to teach them delayed gratification right now, to bring them back into nature, help them to play more, get them outside, and give them an environment at home right now that is conducive to learning, which is getting them back into the executive functioning of their brain.
I love that. I love that. So much gold in what you just said. And I'm seeing the reoccurring themes with the different interviews that I've been doing about resiliency and even the own work that I do about. I love that you said, get them to observe their thoughts. And their thoughts affect how they feel, it affects what action they take, and it affects their outcome. And that is a big thing. And it's something that we can teach them, right? We can show them, depending on the age of them, we can tell them stories, how that actually happens. And look, let's try to change our thoughts about that and see what different actions we can take and how it changes our outcome, right? So kind of doing it with them in a real life experience, right?
And just, I mean, it's harder for the younger kids, and the older kids, the teens, they don't even have complete executive functioning capabilities in their brain right now. But just getting them to observe their thoughts, and it's not all about positive thinking. It's just about reframing and giving them the concept that you have control over this situation. You are competent enough to handle whatever life throws your way. And right now, it's very important to give them that extra nurturing, help them to feel connected to people, and giving them that sense of you, that sense of security, and that warm blanket that they are surrounded by love and they belong, and they're going to go back to school and they're going to have a very safe environment there. And one of the things I always tell parents too is to, if you foster a sense of trust in the system and what they can expect, then they are going to feel more safe. Mm-hmm. And one of my colleagues, she said she's a kindergarten teacher, and she said to let your child know, especially the younger kids, that you trust the teacher and you trust the people that they are going to be interacting with throughout the day. And that allows the child to automatically feel a sense of safety and security when they go to school.
Yeah, and I'm not a child, but as soon as you said that, it was comforting for me. Mm-hmm. Like if I heard that about anybody else, like I really trust this person mm-hmm. with anything that we do in life, right? Like if it's a business deal or whatever it is, when we have somebody else that tells us, that reassures us that they trust the other, I can see that being a huge benefit as well.
Absolutely.
So then it goes to maybe even connecting with the teacher a little bit to get to know and to actually being able to stand behind the energy of actually trusting the teacher as well, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. will come in a different podcast as well.
Exactly.
Okay. So what can parents do to be a little bit more mindful this year? Like you've said quite a few different things mm-hmm. already, but do you have any more maybe coping tips or mindful tips that parents can do and feel a difference with?
Mm-hmm. So I feel like one of the things that parents can be mindful of is not worrying about the academic catch up as much this year. It should not be the focus. I feel like as the kids transition back into the school year, they need to feel supported and not jump right into the academics. So one of the things that you can do is get their brain ready for the academics of it all, because once they get there, there is going to probably be a focus on the academics, unless the school has been mindful enough to use the first week or two as an emotional transition period. But anything to reduce the idea around the academics and the catching up. So it's really easy to get your child to maybe do a little bit of reading this month, right, before school starts, and not even worry about the academics so much in these last few weeks before school. Allow them to enjoy, do a lot of fun things as a family, and be mindful of the words that you're using. And so because the back to school is going to look different for everyone, I would say just create their memories right now, instead of being fear-based, to still being fun. You're going to go back to school and it's going to be fun, and really engage in that, the school supplies, the new clothes, the new running shoes, whatever it is, and make it a time of creating positive memories for them. Despite what's going on, they're going to remember how they felt going back to school during this year. And it's really important to give them that sense of fun and hope and excitement, just like any other year, and not focus so much on the negatives of it all. So that's one thing I would say for parents to be mindful of. The second thing I would say is for parents to be mindful of what you're scheduling for your child in the fall. So because there's a big change and it's a big transition, I would suggest not over-scheduling the child. So giving them that space to come home and not run to the next activity, but instead have some time to do something that they love and have that space to have that change and that transition and really experience it. Now, I know there are some kids who thrive off of doing different things after school, and that's okay. You have to know your child, but just be mindful of your child's capacity to manage the change in the fall.
And that has come up a few times as well, mm-hmm. and is extremely important for us to be mindful. I wish I could reach out to the organizations and tell them not to start any activities until October.
I know.
But yeah, and I love that. And I mean, I think part of being a conscious parent is actually looking beyond just the academics, not just for mm-hmm. the back to school, but, you know, always. mm-hmm. Because you're right, like, every child, like, children learn through play and they learn through experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, you know, I can remember sitting down in, I don't know, geography class or science or this or that. And the things that I remember are pretty much slim to none. But the yes. things that I experienced through travel or through, if I was interested in something and did my own research, I remember all that stuff, right? But it's mm-hmm. the stuff that we're forced to learn so that we can pass that test and then move on often doesn't stick. So letting go of that pressure, of that academic pressure, and just continuing to have experiences with them, make them feel safe, mm-hmm. play with them is really important. So I love that you brought that up.
That is such a good point, right? Like, I don't remember sitting in a classroom and learning. I do remember what I did in between classes, you know, at recess and that kind of thing, right? So it's really interesting that we do not remember as much of the academics, right? And I feel like this year after school as well, the reason we need to give the kids space is because they've been away all day at school, putting on this brave face. And for younger kids, they may have some after school meltdowns. And because when they come home, they want to unwind, and finally they're home, and home is a safe space. So parents need to be mentally prepared for those big emotions. And it may even happen if they have to go to their grandparents after school or with a babysitter. But the after school meltdowns may be more than usual this year. And with older kids, it might not be a meltdown, but it might be going to their room and just needing that space to be alone, or talking back, maybe a little bit of attitude, whatever it is. But to understand that they've been keeping this brave face all day, and at home, they just want to let their guard down. And we need to give them that understanding and that empathy and allow them to have that.
Yes. And this comes up, this has come up many times in the interviews for mm-hmm. a reason, right? So if you're like, yes, I've heard this, there's mm-hmm. a reason why this is happening. So giving them that time to connect back to themselves mm-hmm. and then to connect with you before you expect anything of them, whether it's to jump on their homework, to help you with chores, or to go to the next activity, to give them at least 30 minutes. And you know your child, for some it might be more, for some it might be less, but giving them that space is really important. Absolutely. And I just want to go back to what you mentioned about the school and how, you know, kind of maybe framing it in a different way. You're right. I remember, you know, my friends, the games we played and all these things. And also if we look at the school system in general, it was created a long time ago for a very different world than what we live in now, right? We live in an information world now. Anything our kids want to know, like my daughter's 5 and she often asks me a question, I answer, I don't know. Let's Google it, mom, right? Mm-hmm. So they know that they can get any information at the tip of their fingers. And when they're truly interested in something, they're going to want to learn it, right?
Absolutely.
So taking that pressure off them and allowing them to just enjoy the experience and know and trust that they will learn everything they need to learn. And it might not be exactly the way you want them to be, but they will learn it.
Yeah. You know, I used to teach high school, and I always think back if I was to go and be a teacher right now in the school system, I would be such a different teacher. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be focusing so much on the curriculum as much as giving them those skills of those soft skills that they need in the real world, because the academic skills that we develop, okay, problem solving and logic and all that kind of stuff, like, yes, it's helpful, but what's been the key piece during this pandemic has been how we are handling our emotions and how competent we are to handle stressful situations effectively. And the skills that we require to face challenges, that's been at the forefront of our family life, not the fact that, you know, what we learned in school, right, academically. So it's really important to shift the focus to some soft skills for kids, and not just leaving it up to the parents, but also bringing these skills into the school system as well.
Yeah, this is a theme also that's reoccurring in all the interviews that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for it, right? Mm-hmm. And we may or may not be able to bring it into the school system now, but how can we at least bring it into the home? And then yeah. I hope one day that more and more programs or teachers embody this, because there are. I do know some really amazing teachers that are bringing that emotional health, mindfulness, resiliency mm-hmm. into their classroom, which is really refreshing to see. So mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. So let's wrap it up soon here. But do you have any other tips of, like, you know, the most important thing that you want the listener to really take going forward, not just with the back to school, but the entire school year, that can help them?
Mm-hmm. I feel like the most important thing that we want to embody and teach our kids and embody as a family is how to stay healthy. And how to stay healthy does not involve only our physical health, but also our mental health and our emotional health and our spiritual health. And what rides on all of this, on the success of all of these areas and buckets of health, is how we manage our immune systems. And I'm very passionate about gut health and improving the resilience of the immune system, especially during a time like this and what we're faced with right now. So preparing your child's immune system should actually be the forefront of everything right now. And that, what does that look like? It means getting prepared for back to school with a focus on healthy nutrition, restful sleep, and coping mechanisms for emotions. And that's going to lead to better mental health. So, for example, highly processed foods or unhealthy foods that are not nutrient dense are not going to lead to a healthy body that is resilient, right? So we want to really look at what we're putting into our bodies, how it's affecting how we feel, how it's affecting the health of our gut, because 90% of our immune system lives in our gut, and the terrain of our gut. So the microbiome is so critical to how we feel, what emotions we feel, the neurotransmitters that we are giving off, that we are producing. Our mental health rides on it. So there's so much to it. And honestly, it's an entire another episode. But what we can do is make sure the kids are getting enough vitamin D. So because we live in the Northern Hemisphere, even though we might have been getting out in the sun, starting September, October, I would definitely suggest supplementing with a vitamin D supplement for the kids, because even in the summer, they're wearing sunscreen, they're covered up, they're wearing hats and all that. We don't know how much they're absorbing. So definitely in the winter months, supplementing with the vitamin D, because vitamin D has actually been shown to improve the immune system. We have a vitamin D receptor on every cell in our body. So it's one of the critical vitamins, making sure that they are drinking enough water throughout the day. That's going to help them get them in a habit of drinking the water. Because I've seen kids who are so moody and so drained by the end of the day, but it's because they have not been drinking enough water. What does that lead to? Then it leads to constipation. If the kid is constipated, they're not going to be able to learn effectively. They are going to be backed up. Their body will become sluggish. Everything in their body will become, will not move effectively, which will not allow them to cope with their emotions effectively. So making sure that they're drinking enough water, that they're eating food that's not constipating, and being mindful of their sugar intake. I mean, I know during the summer, there's been ice cream and popsicles and all this good stuff for summer. And I, same thing happening in our household too. And I'm completely fine with it. But come September, being a little bit more careful of how much sugar we're putting into their lunches and how that's affecting their immune system. Because I think the stat is something like 1 teaspoon of sugar compromises your immune system for about 6 hours. So yeah, it's huge, right? So getting some fruits in there for their vitamin C. And you know, we don't know how our bodies are going to react when we go back out into the world right now, because we haven't been around people or germs or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that our immune system is prepared for the hit when we start entering back into the world and being around more people. So I think that's really important.
Go ahead. Yeah, and I love that you brought that up. And I think there's more that we can do than just hand sanitizer, because that's very superficial, right? Mm-hmm. And I agree with you at the beginning of, before we started recording, you and I were talking about, you know, this should be at the forefront of people's minds. And I know when this started over a year and a half ago, you know, my focus is like, okay, what are the vitamins we're taking? How's our nutrition? How's our water? How's our sleep? And then I've been able to, for the most part, keep that up over the last year and a half, right? To keep our immune system strong. And I love everything that you mentioned. And sugar, it's a funny thing, because what I'm noticing, so my daughter's starting school for the first time. We skipped JK last year, so she's going straight into SK. But just what we eat at home, most of it has nuts, and it's, we can't bring it at school. So I've been looking for granola bars and things like that, but so many of them are not actually granola bars. They're like marketed as granola bars, but they're actually candy bars because they have so much sugar in them. No fiber, no protein. So it's really being conscious of, what we're doing and what we're putting in their lunches and what they're consuming when they're at home. I love that.
Yeah. And the last thing I just want to add is really how they're starting their day in the morning. Yeah. So how that morning routine is going to look, prepare them for that. Prepare them for what to expect, what the routine is going to look like, speak them through it. And even have them visualize it. And even for the younger kids, you could practice it. But giving them that, building those, that familiarity, whatever that word is, beforehand, before school starts, so they know what to expect in the morning and starting their day off right, so it's not stressful. Because the last thing we want is for them to go to school with stress hormones pumping through their veins.
I agree. And that's a big one. And that's probably, for me, that's the one I'm fearing the most, because we live in a world where, so I have my daughter 50% of the time, she's with her father, the other 50. And when she's with me, I don't work typically. And our mornings, like our day starts earliest at 11 o'clock in the morning, right? So we just super low key and no schedule. So it's like, how are we supposed to be at school for 9:05? I don't know.
Same with us. We're late risers in this house. I like the idea of a soft start. And my daughter, when she went to grade one, the teacher did a settle in time in the morning. And I thought that was brilliant. So having a soft start is really beneficial to everyone in the household.
Yeah, I agree. So we've been practicing that. And I mean, we're up way before 11 a.m., but we just take it easy. We do our own things. I do my self-care. She does her alone time. Yes. So now I'm starting to tell her, okay, by this point, you'd already be at school. So You know, like this is how fast it goes in the morning. So yeah, I love that. So many golden nuggets that parents can take with them today, and for the rest of the school year and beyond. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really loved our conversation.
Me too. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the Conscious Parenting Paradigm Podcast. I am your host, France Taillard, Certified Conscious Parenting Coach. You can find me on Instagram or TikTok at Coach France T. You can find my link to my website in the show notes or on my social media profiles. I would love it if you would subscribe to and rate this podcast. I will be doing multiple Ask Me Parenting episodes, so if you have any questions for me, please leave it inside a review on your favorite platform. Your feedback and support is so appreciated. See you next time, where we will continue to explore conscious parenting together.